The Breakfast Club.
Adam White, good morning to you.
Good morning, Daniel. You made a mistake in your opening salvo.
What did I say?
What you didn't say was, today is the penultimate edition of The Breakfast Club for the year.
So what was the mistake?
You didn't mention it.
Well, so it wasn't a mistake.
It was an oversight.
It wasn't really. It wasn't really...
I just love that word. And you had the opportunity to use it.
You wanted to say penultimate. Sorry, yeah. Okay, right. Okay, well, today is the penultimate show for 2021.
That's correct, Daniel. That's good. That's right. It is.
That means tomorrow is the last one.
It is. It's very early for us to be finishing, but we are.
And I just followed the bouncing ball around here. We mentioned this with the HR department. Would you find that office yet?
I'm not laughing.
It's in the same area. I reckon the key to the prize cupboard is.
So for those that are wondering, the millage,
How do we get the millage?
City gauge, 11.8.
You just sat down.
Just letting people know. Because it was varied, depending on where you were. Northwestern suburbs got a lot more than other areas around town. And there's more expected today. So if you lived at the Essendon Airport, I don't think anyone lives at the Essendon Airport, but if you live in that area, 22.6. However, if you live at Fernie Creek, there's only one. So there you go, that's what I'm saying. Very different sorts of situations. Moorabbin Airport, usually Moorabbin gets a lot, only 1.2.
Have you been sitting on this for a little while now?
No, I'm just looking at it now. 5.8 in Viewbank. So depending on where you lived... Very, very different situations. There was a lot of rain at the Albert Ground, but it came late.
Well, it came about 7 overs in to the second innings of play.
Anyway, how are you going?
It's an unusual start to the program this morning. It's an unusual start to the program this morning. Righto. There's a bit happening in the world at the moment. We haven't discussed Peng Shui for a little while.
You found her?
No, I haven't found her. Sadly, I haven't. But this is from Steve Simon, who is the CEO of the WTA.
Right. This has come from overnight?
This has come from the last 24 seconds.
Right.
Or thereabouts. Yeah, pretty much 24 seconds. When on November 2, 2021, Peng Shui posted an allegation of sexual assault against a top Chinese government official, the Women's Tennis Association recognised that Peng Shui's message had not been listened to and taken seriously. The players of the WTA, not to mention women around the world, deserve nothing less. From that moment forward, Peng Shui demonstrated the importance of speaking out, particularly when it comes to sexual assault, especially when powerful people are involved. As Peng said in her post, "Even if it is like an egg hitting a rock, or if I am like a moth drawn to the flame, inviting self-destruction, I will tell the truth about you." She knew the danger she would face, yet she went public anyway. I admire her strength and courage. Since then, Peng's message has been removed from the internet and discussion of this serious issue has been censored in China. Chinese officials have been provided the opportunity to cease this censorship, verifiably prove that Peng is free and able to speak without interference or intimidation, and investigate the allegation of sexual assault in a full, fair and transparent manner. Unfortunately, the leadership in China has not addressed this very serious issue in any credible way. While we now know where Peng is, I have serious doubts that she is free, safe and not subject to censorship, coercion or intimidation. The WTA has been clear on what is needed here, and we repeat our call for a full and transparent investigation without censorship into Peng Shui's sexual assault accusation. None of this is acceptable, nor can it become acceptable. If powerful people can suppress the voices of women and sweep allegations of sexual assault under the rug, then the basis on which the WTA was founded, equality for women, would suffer an immense setback. I will not and cannot let that happen to the WTA and its players. As a result, with the full support of the WTA Board of Directors, I'm announcing the immediate suspension of all WTA tournaments in China, including Hong Kong. In good conscience, I don't see how I can ask our athletes to compete there when Peng Shui is not allowed to communicate freely and has seemingly been pressured to contradict her allegation of sexual assault. Given the current state of affairs, I am also greatly concerned about the risks that all our players and staff could face if we were to hold events in China in 2022. I've been gratified by the massive amount of international support the WTA has received for its position on this matter. To further protect Peng and many other women throughout the world, it is more urgent than ever for people to speak out. The WTA will do everything possible to help protect its players. As we do so, I hope leaders around the world will continue to speak out so justice can be done for Peng and all women, no matter the financial ramifications. I very much regret it has come to this point. The tennis communities in China and Hong Kong are full of great people with whom we have worked for many years. They should be proud of their achievements, hospitality and success. However, unless China takes the steps we have asked for, we cannot put our players and staff at risk by holding events in China. China's leaders have left the WTA with no choice. I remain hopeful that our pleas will be heard and the Chinese authorities will take steps to legitimately address this issue. This end statement from Steve Simon.
That's extensive.
That's extensive.
And significant.
And absolutely significant. That's the first step. I wonder who follows. I wonder who comes with. This is a Jerry Maguire moment, I reckon, for tennis. And probably sport in that part of the world. That's a real Jerry Maguire, who's coming with me? This is my mission statement. This is why we're making the calls we're making. Who's coming with me? That's a real, whilst it's a very strong statement about women's tennis in China and Hong Kong, it's also one shot across the bow of all other sporting organisations that deal with China. And what are you going to do about it?
Yeah, and the significance about that half is just the money that China pour into sport. And tennis being such a global sport, they pour a lot of money into tennis through sponsorship and whatever else. So that's the not the dangerous game. Well, yeah, it kind of is the dangerous game that the WTA are playing there, knowing what's at stake, but stepping up and standing up for the athletes that that represent the banner of the WTA. So it is strong. There's no doubt about that.
There you go. That'll be news in the world of sport across the day, and we'll see what reactions we get from other sporting bodies around the globe, particularly the ATP. See what they do. Be interesting too.
That's exactly right, yeah.
On the back of that. So we will see, but the WTA has suspended all tournaments in China and Hong Kong.
Because Sam Stosur spoke yesterday about Peng as well, and because I've mentioned a few times, she was her doubles partner there for quite a while, and she didn't really know much about what was going on, and they're pretty close. So, yeah. Can we change topic for a second, but not be as serious, or do we need to take a break and come back?
That's an important story.
No, absolutely, it is. No. But mine's not really. But I just wanted to ask you a question.
You talk about no rain in Muriduk.
No,
it's come off the SMS.
No.
The Bureau have got some millage.
Too. There's been a lot of rain at Muriduk over the last period of time.
Chris in Ballarat says the Bureau got millage correct yesterday. Have you regained your faith in the Bureau? Because
not at all.
You left them last week.
No, I think they've had a really difficult time. If there was a second tier competition, I think a lot of those meteorologists would have been told to go down and get some confidence at a lower level. And they're trying to blame aeroplanes not being in the sky and the Spanish au pair and that sort of thing. I'm not interested in excuses. I just want some accuracy. Because I think they've been quite good for a few years.
You've had such a strong relationship. It pains me that you have. It's come to this between you two.
Well, look, I just prefer honesty and transparency.
Right.
If they're not sure, just say they're not sure. And I think Jane Bunn goes down that path a lot more. She goes against the trend. Have you noticed that?
No.
She will say, I know what the Bureau are saying here, but I've got a different view on this. And in recent times, there's been a few occasions where she's right. Now, I was told yesterday by Jason Taylor in our digital department that she has her own app. And he prefers her app to the official Bureau app.
Hang on. So Jane's controlling the weather now.
Yes.
Literally controlling the weather.
And if you look at what Jane said yesterday, it was pretty much on point.
Right. Well, I don't know how that works.
No.
I don't know how that works. How does she get her own app? Where's her information coming from?
We'll show you in the ad. Well, Jason can come and show you because I've got no idea what it is, but he showed me and it sort of was right. So I admire the fact that she goes against the grain. She said a couple of weeks ago, there was that Sunday where it was almost going to be a weather event where there was going to be 30 mils. And she said, she was the first to say, you know what? That's not going to happen. I'm forecasting no rain. And there was no rain.
Is she being sort of ostracised by the community?
Well, I'd like to know that, whether that's the case.
I wonder if she becomes one out in the community. Because the Christmas party is not going to be fun for Jane.
Like a back in the 80s, the rebel tour to South Africa. She's on the rebel. She's a rebel.
A Rodney Hogg activity from Jane.
Anyway, what I was going to say to you is we've got a problem at home.
Oh, no, not another one. What did he do today or yesterday?
No, I didn't do anything.
No, what did he do?
No, it's got nothing to do with the children.
The future Australian captain, what did he do?
No, he didn't do anything. My wife bought a new bed.
It is the season.
We got involved in the Black Friday sales thing, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Got a new bed.
Mm-hmm.
And last night was the first night in the new bed.
Right.
And I'll be honest with you.
I think our listeners will be interested to see where this goes.
No.
A lot of people thinking, where's he going here?
I'll be honest with you. I had one of the worst nights sleep in the history of my career, to the point where I would have been better sleeping on a park bench than sleeping in the bed that we've now got.
Oh, gee.
It's as hard as a rock.
Be good for your back.
Well, that's what Emma said. I'll be good for your back. Well, I'll give you the tip, Emma and Daniel. If it's that bloody hard, it's not good for my sleep.
Maybe you just...
Boy.
Well, it's a good point, Brian. Maybe you just found yourself in the wrong position. Maybe, it's more about you than the bed.
It's these modern times that I'm uncomfortable with, is that it came in a box. Have you seen these beds?
Oh, you've bought a bloody koala or a chicken or something.
You know what we bought?
What'd you buy? A duck.
We bought an Emma bed.
A what?
An Emma bed.
It's called Emma?
Yeah.
Hang on. I'm Googling this.
And it came in a box.
I've never come across an Emma bed.
Now, as you know, I don't get involved in sort of construction of things inside the house or, you know, I'm not a handyman by any stretch of the imagination.
Well, there you go.
So we got an Airtasker person that came in and constructed it for us.
Doesn't it come in a box?
It does, but then it comes out and it just like expands.
Yeah, it's handy.
You've got to do like a box and all this sort of stuff. We've got to construct it. Well, I'm not getting involved in that sort of activity, so we got someone to help. But anyway, so no sort of testing the bed in a shop.
Right.
Just straight construct it up, and it was like sleeping on a park bench.
So which one?
I want to know, have other people done this?
Did you get the comfort mattress or the diamond hybrid or the box bed?
I don't know. I'm not sure. But I'd like to know out there, I know it's not sport related, but have other people bought boxes of beds?
Mattress.
Mattress
or bed?
Both.
The whole base as well?
Yeah.
So you bought the Emma box bed?
I think we did.
50% off, $399.50 at the moment. Get your dream.
$399?
Yeah.
No, it's more than that.
Well, I'm just looking at the page here. 50% off. Get your dream bedroom with a bed base designed to fit any aesthetic. There you go. Any aesthetic. What a fantastic opportunity for you.
Well, it wasn't just the base. You got the mattress as well.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying.
And got pillows that were in boxes as well.
See, this whole mattress box thing, I don't understand that. I don't know how that works.
Now, this is a very good point. This is a very good point that has just come through.
What have they said?
This experience last night for me, my thing's frozen.
Oh, no.
No mouse activity here, so I can't.
Which one is it?
The topper. There's no topper factor. Well, the topper hasn't arrived yet, and Emma said that the topper will soften my experience.
Mattress topper can soften the feel, says Stephen Glenaris. Yeah, there you go. I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'm with you. Off this mess. So why didn't you get a topper? Where's your topper?
Well, it hasn't arrived yet.
Well, how come?
I don't know. I didn't speak to Mr. Emma. But I'm being quite serious though. These things come in boxes.
Yeah, I know. The sleeping duck, the chicken one, the koala, the Steve Smith into the koala stuff, the sleeping duck. I hear all the ads for them on the
wireless. Have you got one of those?
No, we bought a real one.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
It comes in a truck.
That's right. I'm starting to question what we've purchased.
Yeah, we bought one about a month ago. The world champ. Had access to one through a friend at ridiculously low price, and we needed a new mattress after 20 years. We thought, yeah, let's get one. Well, it didn't come in a box, and we didn't need an Airtasker to put it together.
And then you put your old bed out on the street, and someone picks it up and recycles it. Have you seen that?
Yes, yeah, that's what we did. Someone came and took it.
When I woke up this morning, I wasn't sure whether A, the bed may have been taken by somebody, or B, someone might have been sleeping on it. Just sitting
there. It's chaos. Absolute chaos.
Just sitting on the nature strip.
Jez, poor old Jez is with you. Had to get rid of the new bloody mattress after a week, he says. Swapped it back to the cheaper old one. I think that's more just a comfort factor. You've got to get used to these sort of things.
It's so hard.
Well, the topper will help you out. The topper. It's all about the topper.
These modern times, I'm really struggling with them, Daniel.
I do not quite understand the mattress in the box thing, though. I don't quite.
That's what I'm saying. And the pillows, like bricks.
Was there any research done into this, or was it a sort of spur of the moment Friday, Cyber Monday type?
These modern people that read stuff online.
Well, but there's lots of forums out there. You've got to go to the forum. Just go to the forum. They'll let you know.
Well, they got the Emma bed got like awards, like trophies and stuff for being the best mattresses in whatever.
Best mattress in a box.
Anyway, I'm just clearly not really with the times.
Well, you might be. I don't know. The mattress toppers. Latex is underrated. Off the SMS. We purchased a box mattress for spare room only. Only good for guests, no good for the press. Must try first, says the press. Spot on. I'm not spending that amount of money on something that without trying it first. We got a new workbench recently after plenty of research. Not just a suburb. Airtask is the most modern thing you've done, Whitey. Congratulations.
I didn't do it. Emma did it. I didn't trust the whole process.
Jump in the spare room, Whitey, says the big dog. And can we just clear this up? Whitey hired someone from Airtasker to come in and open a box.
Well, there's some construction involved. There is some construction involved.
I've told you this before.
It's the second time. We had an Airtasker person come to do some IKEA furniture construction.
Well, that's different.
And he was a pilot. He was a pilot.
Do you know the weather?
And I said, what are you doing, mate? You're a pilot. He said, I just enjoyed constructing IKEA things in my spare time.
The luscious locks are flowing, and he's back with us on a Thursday morning. Good morning, Scotland.
Morning, Daniel. Wonderful to be here.
Nice to have you with us.
Your cricket helmet almost didn't fit your head
yesterday
because of the luscious locks.
It is causing many issues. It may have been the reason I was dismissed also. Could have flicked into my eye or something.
Well, I want to talk about that shortly. I want to talk about that because...
A lot to get off my chest.
There's been an incident, and Scotty's going to flesh it out for us very, very shortly. But we're talking about the Media 11 game that was played yesterday against the MCC 29ers at the Albert Ground. A beautiful venue, magnificent surface. A great pleasure to play on that any day of the year. Didn't go our way. The rain got a hold of us.
Lightning.
Seven or eight overs in. Lightning. It was very close, the lightning and the rain action yesterday to the ground. Way too close to my liking. Normally John Ralph would play in the team. He was certainly invited.
He was.
He couldn't help us yesterday.
What was his excuse?
Well,
I thought he had to get a Christmas tree.
That's what my understanding. There was family duties that precluded him from being a part of it. We learned today that wasn't the case. John, good morning.
Hello, boys. No, there were family duties in the afternoon, so I thought I could just play a quick 18 and duck across and then, you know, take none for 70 and then watch Whitey bat. But no, instead I play golf, which was good, but I don't know why you've got me on to talk about golf. But anyway, at least I didn't choke, is what happened yesterday.
Well, let's explain that. We got you on to talk about golf because you achieved a rare golfing feat, Buzz, for a Tuesday hack around here on RSN Central with Courtney and Gareth. For a Tuesday hack, you're part of the team and we'll celebrate your success. What did you do yesterday?
Well, I shot 2 under, which was very exciting.
Is that the first time you've been under the card?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I reckon I might have had par one day at Albert Park, but, you know, we all know Albert Park's a lovely course, but it's a municipal. So, no, it was good. So, I was on the 18th. I was 1 under. I'd missed 2 10-footers in the preceding 2 holes. I thought, this might be my only chance. And I hit a 3-wood, and then I hit a 6-iron to a foot and a half and hold the putt. So, it was, yeah, I think there are people who would say, this is the start of my golfing journey. For me, it was, this is the single chance I get to get under par. And if I miss this chance, I will regret it forever. And I got a little bit lucky and, just had one of those days. So it was nice. So I think they brought the handicap in, I think from 6.3 to 4.3. I didn't know your handicap could drop two strokes in one round. But no, I think I got the chocolate set out at Heidelberg, which is an incredible course. So it was it was a career-old day and one that I absolutely will never replicate again.
We should also mention that it was off the blacks, not off the whites or the blues.
Oh,
it was
blacks.
Off the blacks at Heidelberg. And Heidelberg's not, Ralphie, a particularly long course. It is our home course. But it's hilly, and you've got to play really well to score well. So it is an incredible achievement. So we actually just wanted to get you on and say well done. That was all.
Oh, no, thank you very much, boys. No, I think that's... I mean, when people like Harf, when they are very good at sport, they have this massive self-belief. And as you know, I'm a little bit combustible. So I just hit over a 13-footer, and I think, I'm going to three-putt this. And yet Whitey goes, I'm going to hole this, and I'm going to have a hole in one of the next. So a little bit of self-doubt creeps in half. You haven't got self-doubt as a golfer or anything like that. So, no, it was good. So I did hear, were you still man of the match, though, Whitey? Were there still some heroics from you before the lightning came down?
Well, yeah, I did.
I want you to stand by for this. Hopefully you can. I think you're busy in about 8 minutes' time, Buzz, but you might need to listen back to the podcast. Just for some feedback and all this sort of stuff.
So it's going to be a 20-minute extravaganza, blow by blow, you know, et cetera, et cetera. First I did this, you know, Jimmy Bartels hit one this far, but this is how far I hit mine. Okay, podcast it is.
Now you've done that, 200 par, you rest on your laurels and you probably won't play for a couple of months?
I'm off at 716, so...
what course, John?
Well, as I said to Whitey last night, I had 25 points 2 weeks ago. I had 45 points yesterday. So I'd imagine I'll be back to a 25-pointer and I'll be back to hurling clubs into the stratosphere.
So we're at same course, or are you going back to the scene of the crime, or are you going somewhere else?
Yeah, scene of the crime. We're off the Whites, though. So anyway, if I can duck around in 3 hours, then I'll be a present for the Herald Sun that's churning out after that. So,
of course, John.
7-16 round.
Very good. I look forward to that.
Well, 2 under par, any under the card, any course on the planet is a great result, Buzz. We thought we'd give you a pump up because there's plenty of people happy to kick you, including us. But when you're scoring 2 under, you deserve some absolute praise. Well done, John. Have a great day today.
Thank you. And just well done, too, for the cricket team, the Media 11. I saw a Twitter photo yesterday, and obviously you're a couple short. Got a few hobos off the street. It was Al Nicholson, Daniel Harford, and Scott Gallen, who was looking just very bedraggled, I'd have to say. So, well, Scotty?
That was early in the day. It got worse. Yeah.
COVID is over. The barbers are available. You're allowed to get a trip.
Thank you, John. Goodbye,
nice
John.
Week, Buzz. Great stuff. Johnny Ralph there, the Buzz, teeing off in 6 minutes' time to back up his 2 under par.
I wouldn't play again for a little while.
I'd be resting for a little while. I'd be just basking that for a bit.
Like, it'll be off the Whites, you'll have 10 over and lose complete traction again.
I could go pear-shaped emotionally very quickly.
Yes. Alison Nicholson was talking about how he was a good thrower of clubs.
Yeah, one of the greats.
But he seemed to have pulled that in, he thought, recent times.
Well, as Whitey said, if he's shooting sort of 70...
Yeah, you don't 70, need
you it. Don't need to be throwing too many clubs.
That's pretty impressive.
Now, off the SMS... Well, questions about whether or not there's any witnesses and whether or not the card was signed.
It was in the comp. It was in the midweight comp.
So. His handicap's coming in 2 shots. It was definitely signed on the witnesses. Some suggestions. We were talking before, Scotty, about the Egyptians and their sheets and how come they've become so good at making sheets. Well, someone says quite rightly off the SMS, shouldn't be surprised, they built those pyramid things with not much machinery. So that's a fair point too.
Scotty, about thread count.
Yeah, threads. Still about threads. 1,000 thread count, all that sort of stuff. Mm. How'd you go yesterday, Scotty?
It was an enjoyable day, always, Daniel. But I've had time to contemplate.
What's happened?
Well, I mean, our esteemed leader to my left, I love. But there has to be something talked about.
Right.
I play once a year. And when did we last play?
But 2 years ago.
2 years ago. And I have opened the batting regularly, and the leader, again, he sort of threw it out there. There wasn't many jumping to run in and do it, but he put me in. Right. And I love that.
He showed great faith in your ability.
I appreciate that.
Some would argue I threw you to the wolves.
We're sort of there. There's been a bit of a push towards that sentiment, and I'm now part of it. So the opening bowlers, in these, generally there's a couple of bowlers that are very good, and they usually open. That's generally what happens.
Correct.
So there's two gentlemen steaming in off very long runs, West Indian style. And yeah, I square cut one to the boundary.
Magnificent strike that was, too, to get off.
They
the
had line. A man on the fence. He moved about 1 centimetre, didn't see it. So I thought, oh, it's all back. I'm feeling good. Then this other gentleman from the other end, his first ball, he bolted. Ooh, that was a bit fast. That's okay. I can handle this. No problem. Anyway, then he produced, you know, the Shane Warne type ball of the century that swung and cut off the pitch and may have clipped middle peg.
Right.
So I was out.
You're a bit unlucky. Okay. You're a bit unlucky.
And the game went on, and so I made 4. And then our leader came in. What knock?
Six, seven-ish, I reckon. Normally about seven.
Six. And I love him. He says, I want to give everyone else a hit.
Yeah, he does love that. So he says.
But it turns out my bowler is an Australian net bowler.
What?
Plays Carlton seconds. He spent the last Ashes bowling in the nets to Marcus Labuschagne, Steve Smith, etc. His name is, where is he? Todd Marchant.
Toddy.
Toddy bowls seconds, opens the bowling, is slippery and a gun.
He's basically an international cricketer.
He's bowled nets. He travelled around England for the Australian team bowling 100,000. Getting Marnus out, same way he got me out, he said.
That's his stock ball, is it?
Correct. So...
So why'd he put you...
He's put me... He's opened me up. I have no preparation. I have no net before the game. I have nothing. There's no ball or bat. No one throws anything at me. But I courageously do it because my leader tells me to do it. So I've sacrificed. My leader comes in at six. And this is when the blokes off the street are bowling pies. And he just plants them all around the Albert ground. And I jealously look on going, that'd be really nice to face a couple of these folks. But he says he's doing it for the team. Now, I think there's a bit of Steve Waugh that's come into this. He didn't get red ink, but he got another trophy. And there was a quote after it that he said he's going to bring this home. The wife's going to go, oh, not another one. Where am I going to put it?
Oh, did you say that? I was on the phone for the first part of that.
So I think there just needs to be a review of sending in the courageous opener
to the international bowler,
who 20 years ago would have flouted Trent Todd-Marchant all around the park, but maybe not now.
Wow.
No, I take that on board. I think I was unfair. I was unfair to
you. Thank you, Adam. I appreciate it.
I threw
that.
You to the wolves. And I take that on board, and you'll go into the middle order next time. And I felt at the time that I was... As I was watching you struggle, that I was being a bit unfair. That's why I gave you the opportunity to bowl first change.
Not exactly a reward. The game was balanced. They were about to attack. He said, "Your first change."
But I've been attacked internally previously for batting too high from Ralph and King.
Attacked internally.
And so I went down the order, and then I get attacked for it being too easy. So I feel I'm just going to have to be a Justin Langer.
Leadership, mate.
Just not play.
Leadership.
Just coach.
Who would you have opened in my place? This is the problem. Because they weren't exactly jumping over hoops to get to you, to put the pads on.
Well, it was meant to be Daniel Harford, but he wanted to go a little bit lower himself.
Oh. Now this is the argument swung around.
No, so you were in it for Scotty, and I had
throw
to
throw Gullet in.
I'm sick of making runs in that game. All I do is make bags and bags of runs, and people get bored of baselines.
Don't think you've got quite that many trophies from your efforts.
I've got plenty of trophies. But the other bags highlight, and bags.
One, the other highlight is I got the game called off when I got hit for six. And they lost the ball, and then lightning and rain. It gave us 5 minutes to go, this is actually dangerous, let's get off.
That's a good point.
Which you led, you went to the boys, come on.
Well, I did throw it to Paddy, the opposition batsman, whose son refused to field balls.
Oh, he just let him go through his legs.
When the old man hit it to him, it went for four.
It was a rort.
It's a real rort. I said to Paddy, what do you reckon? He goes, well, we've got really cold beer in the fridge. And I said, well, that's off, let's go, let's walk off. It was enough of that. It was a nice afternoon at the MCC.
I'll tell you what, it was justice. Really good. We had Louis Cameron play for the media team. Louis works for cricket.com.au, and he played a couple of games for Victoria, played a lot of district cricket for Essendon, and still plays for Brunswick.
Was that what that shirt was?
But to see him come in and bowl, he wasn't bowling at full steam, but still bowl the way he did, it was quite a treat.
He wasn't bowling as fast as my mate, Todd March. He was zinging it all over the place.
No, you've been unfairly sent to the wolves there.
Yeah, I think I need to go down the order.
From the skipper. It's a real coup, a leadership coup opportunity, I think.
Well, I think it just had to be. I couldn't bottle it up anymore because I love him, but... This had to be mentioned.
He was a bit slick, Toddy. Early doors at the top of the order there. Some news are coming to hand. The Watford Chelsea has been temporarily suspended for the EPL fans out there due to a medical incident in the crowd.
Oh.
So we'll keep an update on that. Something's happened over there in the EPL. Scotland.
Yes.
What's your take? Because you are the chief tennis writer for all the News Limited
papers.
I'm
Leo Schlink.
You are Leo Schlink.
Something happened that I don't
What's
know about.
What's happened to Leo?
He's in Hong Kong Jockey Club. Or Singapore. Hong Kong? I think it's Hong Kong. Yeah, great gig. He's because he was also a leading racing rider.
Yeah, he was, yes.
So he's over there running their website and doing all horsey things.
Right, okay. Which has left you holding the tennis...
Possibly earning a little bit more than me.
Holding the tennis racket here for the News Limited Presses. And we read today, and we read the statement earlier this morning from the WTA, that they have cancelled all tournaments in China and Hong Kong on the back of this Peng Shui situation.
This is fantastic.
Do we know... SMS came through early doors. So I was waiting for you to talk to me about this.
Yes.
Do we know if Peng has a nominated...
To play out
for the Australian Open?
Now, our nominations are open and close in the next week or so. When Craig Tiley last week said she hadn't, I mean, we're still not sure if any of that's real. None of her friends seem to have heard from her. It's just been released through the government agency.
Oh, there's no way that is her. Free and coercive free.
Yeah. So, no, they hadn't heard from her and we're still very worried. So I don't think she's entering tournaments, given she may not be entering anything.
Yeah.
For a
while. What do you think will happen on the back of this?
Oh, definitely. I mean, there's going to be repercussions. This is a first great sign. Whether the Chinese government care that there's not a couple of tennis tournaments, I'm not sure about that.
No, I would imagine they couldn't give a fat rat.
Correct.
But it's not... It's not
about that as such.
No. Because the other reality is, I mean, there's quite a few tournaments in China. WTA and ATP. But it's more the sponsorship dollars.
Mm, and TV.
The money that China brings to the game. So to take a strong stance like this might put that in jeopardy. So, and I'm saying the WTA have done the right thing.
Oh, absolutely they have.
But it's bold because there's a lot of people that are involved in tennis that won't come out and speak publicly about this because they fear for their own situations.
Well, we saw it with the NBA and others. The NBA is anything anti-China, they jump on it because it's their money. It's all the money comes from China.
Yep.
So, tennis, good on them. They made a stance because the players and everyone were united about where is Peng Shui. And we don't know.
Would you expect the ATP to follow suit?
Yeah, absolutely. They have to. They have to stand up together. I would think Novak and all the boys would lead the charge on that.
Yeah, well, that's the next phase, I think, the conversation from the leading players.
Yes.
We've had someone on Twitter before, one of them, Victoria Azarenka, applaud the WTA's stance. I expect a bit more support from certainly the women's players at this stage, but I think it would be very, very strong if the leading men's players came out and did the same thing. Roger and Rafa and Novak and all those guys coming out and saying the same thing and putting pressure on the ATP to have a similar stance.
Well, you can't then play a men's tournament and say, oh, well, because then you're saying, oh, it's a female player missing, so we don't care.
Mm.
I mean, they're joint bodies. They really are. They have to be joined at the hip, and they are for most things. So stand up.
Keen to find out more about the situation with Melbourne City. The FFA Cup round of 16 match they played last night. They were too good. They were too good. Were Melbourne City? No surprise either because they are the reigning champions and premiers, of course, of the A-League from the last season. Scotty Jamieson is the coach. No, he's not. He's the captain of Melbourne City. He joins us. He probably wants to be coach one day. Scotty, good morning.
Good morning, boys. Well, all boys. It's not Sherelle in this morning, so good morning, boys. How are we?
Yeah, no, it's the first time you've spoken to us without Sherelle for a little while. She's a bit upset, but we're happy to have you.
Oh, amazing, then. I'm glad to be here.
How's the season started for you from your eye? I know it's been pretty well served from a results perspective, but from your eye, from what you're expecting, how's the season started for you?
Yeah, it's come along so far so good. Obviously, performance-wise, we've been okay. And then results-wise, okay also. And with the Adelaide United result, 2-0 up with 15 to play and then even 2-1, I thought we were comfortable. And then, unfortunately, a brain fade of some proportion and then it was 2-2. But, with last night, we got minutes into players that haven't had a lot of minutes and won the game, which is the focus. So, yeah, we're okay at the moment. We're doing okay.
So I was going to ask you about last night. I did notice your name wasn't on the team sheet. Is that we don't do all that in the early doors in the FFA Cup or early in the season, try and overload the more experienced players?
Oh, I just think I could explain it the best way is leave the Rolls Royce in the garage. Yeah,
I like that a lot.
Don't bring it out on rainy days. So it was a case of, like I said, first and foremost, winning the game and and putting a team out to win the game, but also giving players the opportunity to really get minutes into the legs, because there is a big schedule coming up, and you know, it's an opportunity to do that.
That's an outstanding response too, just by the way.
It's actually quite funny, because I was listening to a podcast yesterday, and quick story, there's a player in Scotland, a real classy player, and he was they were doing a running test, and the best player didn't come out, and all the players are complaining, and the player said, and they said, "Why aren't you running?" He said, "Well, you carry the piano and I'll play the piano." So I've been listening to a few podcasts and learning a few lines.
That result on the weekend against Adelaide, you mentioned 2-0 up, and then a couple of minutes later it's 2-2 and you walk away with 1 point instead of 3. What's the review process like from that? Because you're the best team in the business, you're a really professional team, and I imagine the coach wouldn't have been too wrapped about that.
No, it was a review in black and white, and that's what it had to be. Essentially, we were really pleased with the way we carried out our game plan. We did everything that was asked of us, and unfortunately, like I said, a bit of a brain fade, and that's yeah, that's okay. It's a learning process for young players, and you know, if they don't learn, then maybe not up to it. But I'm pretty sure that you know, everyone involved will learn from that, and we'll move forward, and it will help them as an individual, but also as a team.
Scotty, it's early in the season, obviously, but have you recognised anything from other teams or the flow of games, a change, a step up this season already?
No, not so much. I mean, I was aware coming into the season that all teams had strengthened, so that hasn't surprised me. Yeah, and, you know, all teams have, I guess, started off a little bit shaky just due to the pre-season and the lack of A-League games. But, you know, teams are starting to warm up now, so it'll get going soon, I'm pretty sure.
We were talking earlier in the week, Scotty, about the victory, and they just feel different. They are different. They've got a new coach, a new plan, new style, new players, etc. But have you noticed? It's almost like in response to the fact they don't like the fact you are the champions.
Well, I've noticed they've obviously got a steel, you know, they've got a spine about them now. And you know, with Tony Popovich coming in, that was always going to be the case. There wouldn't be walkovers like there had been over the last 2 to 3 years. So, essentially, you know, we're fully aware of what they're about, but at the same time, not worried. We have to focus on ourselves and continue to do that. But I think it's great for the competition. It's a strong victory and great for Melbourne.
Well, there's no doubt about that. We want some competition in Melbourne Town to get things rolling again, because it is a really important phase for the A-League, I reckon. We were talking the other day, Scotty, about the broadcast situation and the subscription model that the A-League's gone down through the Channel 10 and Paramount opportunities. Do you get feedback on that from fans, the way that game's covered?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I'm pretty vocal. How can I put it? I'm on Twitter a fair bit, so I do see a bit of feedback, and albeit, you know, I think it was great that Channel 10 took on the responsibility and saw the opportunity to grow with the A-League, and, you know, a few teething issues, but, you know, essentially we've got one game free to air on a Saturday night, which is, you know, great exposure, and then with Paramount, you know, getting behind it and you know, streaming the games, it's positive.
Interesting. It's a lot of conversation the other day for us on our SMSs that fans are getting a bit upset. They can't find it. It's all too hard, and it's going to affect the way they consume the product, which I don't think is something the league can afford to do, has it? Or can they?
No, I don't think it can. But at the same time, you know, we're two rounds into the season so far, so I fully expect some teething issues.
Yeah, fair point.
Come right round five, if it's still the same, then you'll be seeing me a bit vocal on Twitter. But I don't think that's the case. I think we'll be building towards, hopefully, a strong partnership with Paramount and Channel 10, and like I said, the coverage so far for me has been very good.
So when would you expect your team to be in full swing? That's the first couple of games, obviously, you iron out a few kinks and you try and sort yourselves out from a chemistry and connection perspective. When would you expect to see City really rolling in this A-League season?
Jeez, that's a great question. I don't want to say round five, and then this week we put on five goals and a flying, and it makes me look a bit silly, so I don't really want to put a tag on it, but all I will say is that, you know, the key and the expectation from our football club and our team is that every week we're improving. So I'm pretty confident that we will. From round one to round two, I saw an improvement, and I'm expecting, you know, this week, round three, to be an improvement on that.
So just further to that, that was a solid question from half. I'm not sure it was a great question.
It was a great question.
But does it feel the same because you're the champions, and then you have an extended sort of break, and then you get back into it again? Do you just roll in and it feels the same, and you've got the same energy, the same chemistry, or is it almost like you are not necessarily starting again, but half starting again?
It's a good question because you know, there's no momentum necessarily from a grand final to round one because it's the 4 or 5 months difference. But in saying that, you know, there is confidence from what you did last year, but you know, there's essentially new teams, new squads, so. Inside ourselves, yeah, there's definitely a massive confidence of what we can do and where we can get to. But you know, there was no necessarily, I guess, momentum from last year because of the massive break.
Now, Scotty, have you? There's many ways to get injured. Have you been injured on a plane before and got off and been unable to take your place?
No, I haven't actually. I know where you're going with this. I also don't have an owner that talks more than the players in the media, so I'm quite fortunate. I mean, I was at that club for a few years, but he never really talked about me, so I was pretty fortunate.
In all seriousness, Daniel Sturridge is going to be a big hit, we suspect. He's been good in the build-up before he even stepped on the pitch.
Yeah, it'll be great value, and I think it's good for the league. Yeah, obviously, there's a few teething problems there, and trying to get his body right, but he's in Melbourne. I think you should definitely try and chase an interview up. I know the media manager, so flip me 50 and I'll try and get you an interview.
I'm more interested in playing golf with you an hour and a half next week.
Yes, just don't worry about that. I'm dying to have a hit. Don't worry about that.
Hey, Scotty, just on the Sterling situation, and not anything to do with him Sturridge. Necessarily. Sturridge, sorry.
Not Raheem. Yep.
Sterling.
Raheem's not here.
That would be good. Who would be the best A-League player that's played in the last, say, 10 years?
Well, I think, you know, Alessandro Del Piero comes to mind. Thomas Broich. I hope Daniel Sturridge is up there because if he has a successful individual campaign, then that means more eyes in the A-League. But, yeah, I definitely think there's been, you know, a lot of good players come through and like the names Del Piero and Lesser, you know, Broich, you know, even Ninkovic now. So McLaren's doing a pretty good job.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, is Jamie McLaren part of that conversation?
Yeah.
Well, he's been the best goal scorer, no doubt about it. Best player, it's how you define the game and how you view the game, but definitely the best goal scorer and one of the most important players going around, yeah.
Let's get to the world of AFLW. The season kicks off in the weekend of January 7, 8, 9. My understanding is the fixture... Round one fixture was sort of released yesterday. I'm not sure what the rest of it looks like. Maybe Steph Chiocci knows. She's the Collingwood AFLW co-captain. She joined us on The Breakfast Club. Good morning, Steph.
Morning, Harf. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. What's doing in your world?
Oh, not too much. Just preparing for a day of teaching. So I'm about to go get my coffee and hop in the car and get on my way. So
when do you finish?
Next week the kids finish, next Friday, but I don't think we finish till the 17th, so... Still a bit to go.
Righto. Okay, so a couple of days
Hang
to go.
On. When the kids aren't there, come on.
There's no real work being done. Sure.
We know that.
We're cleaning up and we're
cleaning.
Yeah, you know.
You haven't been there for 2 years.
Beg your pardon?
You haven't been to school for 2 years. You couldn't be cleaning that much.
Yeah, you know what? And it's quite taxing actually having to be there with report marking exams. It's hectic for us at the moment, but it's well worth the 12 weeks off a year, that's for sure.
What level are you teaching, Steph?
Seniors, so I coordinate the senior groups and, teach pretty much year 10 to 11, a couple of nines as well. So
well, that's trouble. Yeah. They're really coming into their own at that level, Daniel.
Yeah, correct.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, good luck dealing with that.
Sorting themselves out then.
How's your summer been, Steph of the Magpies? Because I imagine...
Summer? It's like 2 days old.
No. Well, the pre-season. Summer's pre-season. It's the way it is.
It hasn't felt like summer. It bucketed rain last night and we were delayed getting on the track because of the lightning. But, look, going really well. Feels like we've been training for 6 months, to be honest. Obviously, you know, originally we'd be starting this weekend, wouldn't we? The original fixture was meant to start at the start of December. And so, yeah, we had to obviously make some adjustments to that and with our pre-season timings. But, yeah, it's going really well. Loving it so far. And we've got our squad day coming up this weekend, which will, you know, test a few people. And then, what is it, 3.5 weeks till round one, which is pretty crazy.
What's squad day? What's that mean?
We just have a camp, a pre-season camp, day, challenges, those sorts of things, all things that, you know, try and get girls out of their comfort zone. I'm hearing rumours about swimming again, which is frightening for someone like me who can't swim. You know, high ropes course, those sorts of things. But, yeah, we don't know until the day. We're off to, Cerberus,
yep.
Yeah, you're off that way and I think we're going to be put through our paces over there. So, it'll be good.
Now, Steph, April 10 seemed a long time ago, but That was the preliminary final, and it's a lot of time to burn. What's it been like for the group? You know, you had such a great year, and just to come up short.
Yeah, look, it was nice to get a taste of finals and actually win our first final the week prior, and I think we're riding the emotion of that. And yeah, look, it was disappointing to lose. I think if you look back over the tape, which I haven't done too often, but you know, there were some moments in the game where I thought we could have, you know, sort of taken on with that lead and put a bit of separation between us and Brisbane, but it wasn't to be. And you know, there's a bounce of the ball on the goal line; it bounces backward. Sarah Rowe, might be because she's Irish.
Yeah, it's true.
I don't know. The ball just didn't spin well for her, but you know, that goes in. You know, we're in front, and yeah, look, it burns. It certainly burns. I know that's the most I've ever cried and most emotional I've ever been after a game. But you know, you've got to park that. You've got to kind of use that to motivate you going forward. You know, that extra sprint that you do it to the cone at training, and that extra push up or whatever it might be. You know, that could be the difference between making a grand final or not. So that's the mentality we're going with.
Was there any comfort in the fact that Brisbane went on to win it?
I think so. They've beaten us twice. So, I mean, we were meant to travel there and play them. I think it was round seven or something like that, and COVID hit them. So they ended up, you know, short notice coming down here to play us at Witten Oval and beat us, I think, by 2 or 3 points then as well. So to be beaten twice by the Premiers, you take that, I think.
Yeah, no, that's a fair point. If you're going to get beaten, you might as well get beaten by the Premiers.
That's it.
There's a couple of girls that had some really big breakout years last year. None bigger, I don't think, than Ruby Schleicher. Is there someone else that might be popping up in season 2022 from what you've seen?
Yeah, she did have a good year, Ruby, as did Britt Bonici. Got let off the chain as a tagger and obviously an All-Australian midfielder. Look, I'm not too sure. The girls are tracking really well. I'm actually really excited. I'm sorry to say it, half, but Al Downey, I mean, she could pop up as an All-Australian ruck. I think she's tracking really nicely, and yeah, she might surprise a few.
Righto, we'll see how the big
they all live the when they leave, goes. Daniel. They Steph, do. They seem to find an extra yard, a few of these girls.
We're busy with our own All-Australian ruck at the moment. We probably can't have two of them. But you are going to be facing the Blues in round one again, although daytime action, Steph, for the first time.
Yeah, it was at 4:15 on a Sunday as well, so we've got to wait the whole weekend to play them. That's really exciting. Obviously, we've been booted from the season opener for whatever reason, but that's okay. It's always a great match when we play Carlton. A lot of emotion involved in it, and it's usually pretty intense, but I think it's going to be a ripping game. Was it Icon Park, 4:15 on Sunday? Yeah, what a way to finish your weekend.
And how's your big recruit Sabrina Friedrich going? I mean, big full forward. She had a so-so time at Richmond. How's she been progressing?
Yeah, going really well. You know, she works really hard, and I think she's going to give us another focal point up forward to sort of top out Chloe Malloy and Ash Sheridan. So, you know, that tall timber up forward is what we've sort of been lacking a little bit. And, you know, if she doesn't mark it, we just wanted to halve the contest and, you know, give our smalls an opportunity to work. So, yeah, it's going really well, and I'm pretty excited to see what she can produce.
What's the go-to event for you in squad day?
Go-to event? Well, it's certainly nothing that involves swimming. last time that happened, I almost drowned. I think I'm still recovering from that from 2 years ago. Probably anything that's mental. Use my brain a little bit, and anything cardio-wise. Get moving, get running. But, yeah, I'll try and avoid the swimming.
If we turn our attention back to the world of cricket, David Saker is the coach of the Melbourne Renegades, getting ready for a big summer of Big Bash activity in the Red Top, and we love that around these parts. Saker, of David Variety, welcome to you.
Welcome, Huff. Thanks for having me on. $13, not many people are thinking we're any good, so if I could have a bet, I might even have a bet myself. But
well, don't do that, because you can't do that. But if you... But if you need me to have weekend. $10 on and we have lunch on the back of the win, then that's okay.
Well, it's probably understandable after the last few years we've had, but yeah, we're confident we can be very competitive and have some good wins this season.
So I was keen to talk to you about that, because I'm a Renegades man. It's been a tough couple of years, and we need to get back on track. So what do you do to change the whole mindset of the group, of the club, I suppose, in this Big Bash campaign?
I think it's just making sure that the players are really clear that not the role that they're playing in the team. I think they look like they were a close unit last year, but I think they lost their way with just a scene that they weren't really knowing their role when they were coming in the bat. And again, some of those are younger players, So it has to be quite clear to them. And, you know, we've, the last week or two, we've been drilling that into all the players in the team. So we're pretty excited and we're pretty confident that they'll stand up to it.
Dave, you got a new skipper, Nick Madison. He's new to the club and straight into the hot seat. Take us through his leadership capabilities.
Well, he's someone that seems to thrive under leadership. So we sort of, Aaron sort of floated with me that he was wanting to step back from that role. So Nick Madison is probably the one guy that stood out that can do it. You know, he's very well liked in the dressing room. He's very calm under pressure. So that's the sort of leader that we need. And he's got ambitions to be a really good captain. So I think that's exactly what we wanted. And I think he'll do a great job.
He's unfortunately playing too well. It means he's playing for Australia A to start the season, which means you miss him initially. What are you looking at the start, David, with the fact you've got Marsh injured, Aaron wanting a bit of a break, and then Nick with the Australia A team? And that's a cruel blow to start your year.
Yeah, and you put Marcus Harris in there.
Yeah, of course.
You're taking away probably four of our better players. But, you know, the exciting thing with that is that we get an opportunity to play some of our younger players, see what they're made of. They're not scarred by losing. They don't coming in when the team's losing. It's the start of the season. They've got nothing to lose. And, you know, we're really confident that they'll stand up, and we're happy that they're going to get the opportunity. Obviously, it would be nice to have our best players playing, but, you know, we're going to learn a lot about some players in the first three games.
I wanted to ask you about that, because I'm really fascinated to see how you're going to use and how you're going to get the best out of the likes of Mackenzie Harvey, Jake Fraser-McGurk. These guys have got so much talent and kind of the future of Victorian cricket, not just Renegades cricket. They've got a great opportunity to take their cricket to a new level.
Yeah, I suppose Mackenzie has had quite a good taste of it, and he probably would have played no matter what the situation is. But Jake Fraser-McGurk is a ridiculous talent. You know, he's sort of Glenn Maxwell, Steve Smith sort of thing as a young kid. So, you know, there's something there, and we're really hoping that he can, you know, showcase his talents. You know, the problem with sometimes the younger players in 2020 cricket, it's the way they solve problems and problem solving. So that's the thing that, you know, the better 2020 players do really well. And we're sort of drilling in all our younger players to how to think through the situations, how to play in a certain situation, but we still don't want to take their natural talent away from them. So, you know, that's a balance, and we're trying to get that through to them, and it'll be so exciting to watch them play and do that.
The move back to Marvel Stadium, but playing games back at Marvel. I mean, are you training there? Have they got the wicket set up at Marvel in preparation for all this?
No, we haven't had a session there yet, Half. But we're on there the night before our first game. So, we're hoping that the wickets will play the same all the time, whether it spins, whether it seams around, as long as we know exactly what it's going to be like. We'll be really happy. You know, we need some sort of home ground advantage. So if it's different every week, you don't really get an advantage, do you? So, we just want it to be the same every game, so we get an idea of who to play and how to play.
Well, we'll be spinning to win at the Renegades, or we like a bit more speed on the ball?
We've got some good options, I suppose. I suppose James Pattinson being retiring from international cricket gives us some speed. Obviously, Cameron Boyce and Zahir Khan, Mohammad Nabi gives us a bit of spin, and, you know, Kane Richardson, Will Sutherland, and Jack Prestwich are also good pace. So we can probably go both ways now. I suppose if James Pattinson wasn't available, we'd probably be going pretty spin strong, but we might just have a good look at the wicket and then play it off from there.
How have the last couple of days gone in your eyes? There was the Academy games, I think, on Tuesday, another game yesterday. How's it looking in the Renegades colours?
Yeah, we've seen some really good things. We haven't probably batted at the top as well as we could have, but we've found a lot of things out, which is good. And you know, confident if we get a good start with the bat, our middle order can really hurt them. Will Sutherland Jonathan Merlo yesterday were amazing at the back end of a game, so against Hobart. And Will Sutherland's been good in every game, so we're confident if we can get a good start, our middle order can really hurt the opposition. But again, our young top order, you know, we know they're going to be young, they're going to make some mistakes, but we know they've got the talent as well. So if they can come off two or three times early in the season, I think we'll get off to a good start.
This is your second stint at the Renegades. Are the expectations different this time around for you and for the team?
I think the expectations are always the same, Harvey. We're expecting to compete and go really well at the back end of the competition, just because we're coming off, you know, a couple of years of not playing that well doesn't mean we, you know, 2020 cricket's something you can turn around really quick.
Yeah.
And once you get on a roll, you can sort of string some wins together. I'm not sure. Brisbane Heat only won six or seven games and scraped into fifth for the finals last year. So if you get in the finals, then it's anyone's game. So our expectation is to make the finals and then go even further. But we know from over the last few years it hasn't been as good as it like. So we just got to get in a really confident headspace and play well early in the season, and you never know.
Jackson Bird is a superstar of the Big Bash, and he'll be a big part of the Sixers campaign to go back-to-back. He joins us on the line. Good morning, Jackson.
Morning, guys.
Great to have you with us. We're getting ready for a couple of holidays, a couple of us here, but you're getting ready for action in the Big Bash. How's it coming out?
Well, I've been injured all season, so not very well. But I've just had a bit of a niggle in my Achilles, which hasn't really gone away. And being an older bloke now, it's pretty niggly. So I'm not far off playing now, so I'm a couple of weeks away from playing. So hopefully should be back around Christmas time. But yeah, really, really looking forward to getting back out there. It's been a frustrating couple of months.
Yeah, I'm sure. Is that a problem you've had before with the Achilles?
I had a little bit of a niggle in it last year, and then I recovered from that pretty well. And then, yeah, last running session of the preseason, I sort of hurt it again. And, you know, after having actually a pretty good preseason, so just sort of a bit of time pressure as well, trying to get back to play Sheffield Shield cricket before, to get a couple of games in before BBL, and I probably just rushed it a little too much, probably a little too eager to get out there. And had a couple of setbacks since then. So, I'll probably pass the worst of it now and, you know, start running and back into bowling next week.
I would imagine, Jackson, that would have frustrated you because Tassie started the Shield season pretty well. You've played really some good cricket. It's a pretty young team. That experience you bring to that side hasn't been there. But I would imagine that would have been frustrating watching from afar.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, Tassie, we have been playing really well. We've got a great group of guys at the moment that's building nicely towards hopefully something special at the back end of the year. But, I guess the good thing to come out of the injury is it probably just shows me where I'm at in my career sort of thing. I'm getting on towards the end of my career now, but I could have quite easily, not done the rehab 100% and, you know, sort of slacked off in a few areas. But, I'm really, really keen to get back out there and play. And I've missed playing cricket a lot. So probably it's shown myself where I'm at in my career, which is a good thing. I still want to keep playing for another couple of years.
Will it help you be fresh for the Sixers? Because you've always played a really important role, whatever Big Bash team you've played in, because of your ability to take early wickets. Just coming in fresh, is that going to be an advantage, do you think, to you?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'm normally injured at this time of year anyway, but it's usually from bowling about 400 overs before I get here, so in the Shield competition. So, it's nice to feel fresh. Everything's actually, as strange as it sounds, after being injured for a couple of months, everything's feeling really good. You know, mentally fresh as well, I guess. I'm itching to get back out there, and I can't wait. So,
Jackson, is there any new faces we should be ready to watch for the Sixers?
Yeah, we've obviously got Tom Curran back this year, who didn't come out last year because he was obviously been in bubbles for the majority of the year. So, you know, he's a world-class T20 all-rounder. So it'd be great to have him back in the squad. And we've also picked up Chris Jordan from the UK, who is also a world-class bowler as well. So I think he's with us for about five or six games. So,
he's a great addition to the squad, and we've got a couple of good young replacement players as well. Nick Winter from South Australia, who's a good left armer who swings the ball early, and Lawrence Neil Smith, who's played for Tassie, who's originally a Sydney boy, but he's been bowling the house down in the Sheffield Shield. So yeah, really excited to have those guys in the squad.
That was the best of the Breakfast Club. If you want to hear the full interviews again, go straight to the website, rsn.net.au.